Joe presents Boys Don't Cry with me, Russell Kane, together with ASOS. Welcome to Boys Don't Cry with me, Russell Kane, brought to you by Joe, together with our friends at ASOS. That's right, it's a muscle fit, long line, you look khaki. I'm joined today by stand-up comedian and filmmaker, Joe Bohr, and filmmaker now.
Yeah, I'll do a bit of film.
Did you phone and say, please add and filmmaker on, cheeky sod?
The story counts,
it's the Kiss FM breakfast show DJ, Tom Green.
Hello.
And television presenter, Layla Anna Lee.
Hello.
Is Anna Lee your surname?
Yeah.
Anna hyphen Lee.
Only I made it up.
Right, so I was going to say, it's quite weird to have Christian names as surnames.
It.
It'd be like me being called Russell Derrick or something.
Three first names.
Yeah, cool. So I'm joined by not two, I suppose you could argue, not two typical blokes, both of you talk for a living.
Yeah.
One talks and is amusing for a living, which means you're a depressive in private. But one literally can have to fill minutes and minutes without thin air. So I always think it's miraculous what DJs do and go, I've got to fill 5 minutes here just to have breakfast.
Yeah.
What do you have? What is your favourite type of sausage? And then you just, and you're totally.
That's a great bit. I should do that. That's a real good bit.
No, but you know what I mean? You are a talker for a living. So does that follow through to your private life, DJ Tom Green?
Thanks for that. Those are the full title. I think I try and talk about stuff, but I'm just not very good at it. So like, I know I should talk, and I try and attempt to go, hey, we should talk about this. But then as soon as there's an opposing opinion to mine, I'm just like, screw you. That's not right. And this happens to me, like, this happened to me, like, last week. Like, I was new. I needed to talk about something with my girlfriend, but when we got into it, I was like, hey, I don't think I actually want to do this. I actually don't like the fact you disagree with me.
Joe?
I like to talk.
Can you say, I've got a problem, let's sit down and talk it. I've got to be honest, sometimes I get off stage, I'm doing 4 or 5 gigs a week, I'm touring, I might have done telly and stuff like this during the day, and Lindsay will be like, do you mind if we just talk about something? I'll go, do you know what, all I want to do is sit like Jack Nicholson in the last frame of The Shining when he's frozen against the bush with a depressed face, and sob myself.
I know what you mean, I get out of my system when I'm on stage a little bit. I like to talk out arguments, like I do like to resolve before I go to bed.
We'll move on to arguments in a minute. I'm just getting your general, are you a man that can talk?
Chat. I like
a strong sign.
I don't mind if it's via text.
Wow.
Preference.
WhatsApp. I don't mind a bit of that.
Argument?
Well, a WhatsApp chat, I don't mind.
Right.
When my friends call, it's a bit weird. Like if I've got a mate who will call, like I've got a couple of mates who call. And it's just weird now. I find it a bit weird.
Yeah, call for a catch-up. My mate Wayne's like, oh, Russ, how you doing? Just calling for a catch-up. Cool, what do you need?
We could have done it in text.
Layla, are girls better at this? Do you still get phone calls, or have phone calls died in the female community as well?
I think they're dying full stop everywhere. But I think us girls are better at it. I'll stand by that.
One of your girls phone you up and go, Layla, what's happening? And you'll be like, yeah, what do you need? And you'll be like, no, I'm just calling for a catch-up.
That's literally the conversation. That's exactly how it would go. I was just like, what do you want? Like, get to the point. I don't know. We're all rushing a lot nowadays as well, and WhatsApp gets to the point. You don't say on WhatsApp, oh hey, how you doing, like what's happening.
I want that though. I want someone to ring me.
But we should do that.
I would love
Tom, can you just ring me up?
I'll just ring you.
That'd be lovely, man.
And we're more
how
conscious
are you?
We're more conscious of how important that is, so I kind of try and forcibly, like with one of my best friends, try and forcibly have a call every Friday and check up how she is and just chat and not just have the WhatsApp conversation. Because on WhatsApp everyone's like, yeah, I'm cool, and it's like, are you though? Are you all right? Like when there's a phone conversation, you're more likely to go, yeah, I'm all right. It was a bit shit this morning though, because this happened or that happened. So it's going to be different than on text.
None of it's as good as face to face.
100%.
All the research suggests, and you can imagine the amount of nerdy delving I've done, that phone calls, none of it stands in for a face to face cup of tea check in. That's when you get the real shit. And in our increasingly busy lives, it just never happens. I mean, that would be weird if you weren't expect it. All right, Darren? Yeah, I just thought I'd drop round for a cuppa. I'd run into the kitchen, put the kettle on, then I'd call the police. Darren is going to kill you.
We think they're crazy. If someone just popped round and didn't say anything, we'd actually think they were not well. Like, that's really strange.
Do you think you might be more averse to talking things out face-to-face if your parents were a bit less talky, discussy? Do you think that has an impact?
Yeah.
Joe, what were yours like?
My dad is... My dad's pretty bad. They're both eccentrics, and that's probably why I do stand-up.
What do you mean? Like the artisans?
Yeah, they're just quite loud, big characters. They love an argument. And I think I probably do stand-up because I wanted to be heard. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wanted someone to sort of listen to me, and I think I probably am crying out for a chat.
You okay?
You're welcome, Joe. Yeah. I just want to have a hug for you. Well, it seems like we're naturally drifting into what today's subject is about, which is arguing, reasoning, arguing things out and talking.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have sat down with your parents and had a discussion about, oh my God, I'm not feeling too good, or would that not happen in your house?
No. I kind of wish.
What did your old man do then?
My dad was a film censor, so he took the good things out of the films.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's like the worst, dad.
That was the worst.
For a porn walk-in.
Yeah, he literally...
I bet your porn was just like black lines going into a blacked-over mouth. It's like, Dad, please, can I just peel off the black rectangles for one wanking session?
Something like 97% of films that are released are porn. So he literally watched porn.
Your dad's forearm was massive. Your dad's forearms were like, Josh, I'm going to get a Popeye tattoo on either.
It would just be one arm. He would just have one huge arm.
Is that the job title he told you?
That's what he told me.
Right.
He's unemployed since 1994, wasn't it? I can't believe I've got to watch Anal Virgin 7 again. I didn't quite get the classification right.
Just making sure. Yeah, his relationship with his dad was a bit weird, so I think that never helps.
If your dad just called you... Your mum and dad both still alive, by the way.
Yeah.
So if your dad just called you tomorrow and go, oh, Joe, just call him for a chat, would that be weird?
It was weird. A couple of weeks ago, he called me up and he went, how are you? And I was like... It really threw me. I think he'd been told.
Do you think it was a philosophy question? How are you? What does it mean to be us?
It's not a very dad thing, or it's not my dad, or it's not a bloke thing to say, I don't think. So really, really threw me. My mum doesn't even do it. I don't know, I think it's when you're a man, not many people ask you, really. Or when you're a dad, I think it's a little bit... It gets harder as well when you're a dad, because you become the least important thing in the house. Maybe it's my house, but it's like literally, it's like the kids... My wife, the cat, me. No one really cares about the dad as much, I think.
You are the most replaceable bit of the whole house. If you think about it. Genetically speaking, makes no odds to the child, really. You haven't got to grow it, haven't got to feed it.
Your job's done.
You're just a shit assistant manager stood at the side. Trying to find jobs to do. Tom, what about your mum and dad? Both alive, divorced, what's the setup? Do they argue a lot?
They're together, both alive. I've never seen them argue.
Oh, my God.
Insane. Yeah.
So talk us through your background.
It's like the opposite of me.
So weird. So my dad was an electrician that ran his own firm in Preston, and my mum worked for my dad. And I never, ever saw them argue in my 22 years
and
of living.
And they worked and lived together. And they never argued.
And lived together.
But some people say that's an unhealthy thing.
That's what I mean. But for me, this is what's really weird. For me, that was normal, right? So it's only now that I've grown up a bit and I've been in, like, three different serious relationships that I'm like, oh, no, you people do argue. Because as soon as I get in argue, I'd be like, oh, this is it then. Relationship's over. That's it, game over,
so
done.
You'd not learn how to argue.
No, not at all.
From your parents, probably.
No, I don't think I still have, though. I still don't think, like, I'm 24, and I still don't think I know how to...
It does take learning. Like, it isn't something that comes naturally. And potentially your parents were really impressive, because did they just hide it really well, or did it not happen?
They might have just hid it. I once saw my mum have an argument with my... I say, like, there was I don't know what it was about, but my mum left the kitchen and put up the washing. And I just knew she was sad while doing it. And I was like, I don't know what's happened here, but she's really sad doing the washing.
It's quite rare, like a working class house tends to be more vocal. Like, you can imagine an electrician dad being like, we need to have this out, Diane. Whereas middle class people are like, not in front of the children, don't talk about it! Come to the dining room, Oliver. So what's your background, Layla? Mum, dad on the scene?
So you sure you want to ask this question?
Uh-oh. Well, there's one podcast that can take any answer that's going to come my way.
It's going to be this one.
Go on.
I'm really surprised you've gone down this road, and it's actually couldn't be more perfect, sort of the storyline and the example that I can give you. My mum is Brazilian, still alive. Being Brazilian, cries, screams, throws, like, very emotionally open, talks a lot, wonderful at communicating and arguing, and our family in Brazil, arguments happen all the time, and they're not arguments, they're debates. It's normal. We can love each other and tell each other that you were an idiot today. That's normal.
And some stereotypes are true, aren't they?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, more Mediterranean and more Latino cultures, definitely.
But yeah, we know how to talk.
Like, doing like a capoeira move and going, I hate you, you bastard. Yeah. And just spinning back out of.
No, I can fully scream and tell my mum, I hate her, she's such a pain in the ass, never want to see her again, and come around 10 minutes later and it'd be cool.
That's like, mental, wow.
Yeah, it happens. The other side of it is my dad, British, Irish, Scottish descent, very focused and hardworking. He works as a computer consultant and very stiff upper lip. didn't really like to talk, didn't really like to argue, and he committed suicide when I was 10 years old. Right. A lot of the problems that piled up, like, genuinely, we never really know why someone does that, but you can...
And it's so much, it's so in the news at the moment, it's on the increase. It's the number one cause of death for men under 40. It's the number one...
It's the one killer, right?
It's the number one killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, which suicide's is incredible. A big thing, so and men not talking is a massive part of that.
This goes back to Tom's point about how not arguing can be less healthy. It's like a surface calm. And
it festers. It builds up. Like, even little things. And I talk about the silliest things. Like, you go into a shop and there's a woman chatting to the girl who's serving you, and they're chatting for, like, 10 minutes, 12 minutes and not serving you. It pisses you off a little bit. You're not going to tell her off. You just go, you pay, you want. And I'll walk out and I'll meet my friend or whatever and be like, oh, that was really annoying. Whereas men might not necessarily mention those little things. And they pile up. They pile up. And even tiny things, bigger things, or sometimes being avoidant of arguing. You guys, if it's a big thing and you don't want... I'm saying you guys, I'm tying all the men with one brush because it makes it easier for the podcast.
It's common, though, isn't it? It's common.
You don't want to be combative. You don't necessarily want to argue. And my whole point about everything is, like, argument's good. Like, you can still love each other and fight.
Have you got any girls in your group that would... speak to the girl behind the counter? Because, like, Lindsay, it's my life's a living nightmare. I've got to stand up about it at the moment. Like, that situation you just described would not happen. Yeah. She wouldn't turn around and discuss it with the girl. She'd be like, excuse me, I've been waiting here for 10 minutes. Why are you ignoring me?
Good.
Why
for
are you not
her.
Making eye contact? Excuse me, thank you, I will. She'll be like, she'll warm up her TripAdvisor fingers in front of someone. Blowing on, getting ready for the, just warming up for the review, Biarch. Turn around, finish your phone and acknowledge me. I'm a customer. That's Northern as well.
Yeah.
Those are the options. You either say it out there and then, hold it and let it out somewhere else later, or do nothing. And it's the do nothing that's dangerous.
See, I've got the opposite. My wife won't complain, but she will complain to me, which I think is worse.
Oh, she's piling it all on
she's
you?
She's like, she'll sort of tell me, this is awful, this is terrible. Do something. So I've got to bloody do something.
You're the punchback.
So it's on me. Yeah, exactly.
And then what do you do with it?
The X-Man that absorbs it and then throws the rays back out. Which one is
bang.
That?
Yeah.
But then, you know, what do you do with that? Because you've got yours and hers, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Double whammy.
She's passed it on. She's smart.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it?
Yeah. Well, not the right thing, always.
Get another lock on the spare room. Continue masturbating. So, Layla, are you all right to talk about your dad?
No, I'm fine. I didn't want to bring the whole podcast down.
No, but I've got to push that door a little bit more because you put information out there. So were your parents together when this happened? Where were you living?
I was living at home. I was 10 years old.
So we're in the UK, I mean?
Yeah, in the UK. So my mum came over, married a British man, stayed, loved England, very happy, had me, then had my sister. My sister was months old, I think, very young.
There was no warning? Was he depressive? Was he stressed? Was it debt? I mean...
At my age, I wasn't aware of it.
No,
but... In hindsight, yes, there were signs. My dad was highly intelligent, Mensa level, brilliant at what he did. And sometimes you have that sort of madness to genius sort of swing. He was going through a court case at the time, which is obviously a huge amount of stress for someone to carry, falling out with his best friend. There'd been a few things like that. But in general, something that was consistent with my dad is that he didn't solve his problems by communicating. Like, he wouldn't say, right, this is a problem, let's talk about it. It would be, right, this is a problem, let's bury that.
Mm.
And that, you know, stuck.
We talked about this before, it's worth recapping. It's a very, very... When I first started this podcast, I got stick for daring to point out there are differences between the genders, which is now very unfashionable. There are no genders, really. You shouldn't even really say there are. But I'm sorry, the statistics don't fucking lie. There appears to be difference in behaviours amongst what we call male and female at the moment. And as far as I can observe, my female friends and my female guests and all my mums and aunties, they talk about a problem when there's no solution. They're not bothered about whether there's a solution. It's just for the act of talking. So, from your example, the girl was rude to me behind the counter. Can't be changed. You're not going to go back in. But let's bitch about the girl for 5 minutes. The stupid bitch with the fake extensions that didn't serve me coffee properly. Bitch, we all feel better. Men tend to think, oh, Joe, what's the point in wasting oxygen?
That's
saying
my whole
it can't
thing.
Be altered. If it can't, like, think of it like a Haynes manual. You can't open it. It's not on page 8. Don't want to talk about it. Can't be solved.
Yeah.
But it would
suggest, something else
coming off the back
solved.
Of what Layla's saying, that there is a balm, a soothing effect just for saying shit and getting stuff out there, even if it can't be solved, right?
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't have stand-up, I wouldn't talk. I wouldn't...
Joe, to mute. I think he wants to eat. He's hungry. He's tapping the table.
Yeah, it's true. I wouldn't say anything. I'm really jealous of my wife who has these... I mean, I have a go at her for these mundane conversations she has with her mates, just updating them. Literally, they just have these conversations. It really winds me up. She's just there in the living room having really loud conversations where I'm trying to watch my football. And I'd love to be able to call my mates and just be like, hey, how are you? What are you doing? You know, but we just don't. We have these arguments on WhatsApp about, you know, various sort of political things that are going on at the moment, and I always end up leaving the WhatsApp group.
Well, you're lucky it's that, because my experience of, like, the difference between the WhatsApp groups, like, I'll peer over Lindsay's shoulder, there's a bit of banter on there, but as soon as, like, someone's cheated or someone's liked a friend's Instagram picture, oh my God, what does it mean? Like, we've not been getting on lately. Are you okay, babe? Do you want to come around? And I just look at my WhatsApp group and there's a goat being wanked off by a dwarf.
I mean,
guys, come on, man. Darren's getting a divorce. Oh, no, yeah, but Darren loves seeing a goat get wanked off. Oh, my God. It's like you really have to hold out for that. I probably didn't need the mime there. Anyone on YouTube? do you think that... I'm not sure. I'm sceptical about this. I want your opinion as well, Tom. Is that people are like, well, that's why, you know, men get depressed because they don't talk about stuff. But I think we've got to be quite careful about saying quiet people are depressed, because it's not necessarily the case. Because then we're sort of labelling all introverts who don't need to share as being depressed. Do you think that's the case with you? The less you share, the more depressed you are. Sometimes you're like, you know what? I'm fucking cool in the Premier Inn on my own with my curry takeaway and my Netflix. I'm not depressed. In fact, I'm in my fucking element in my complimentary dressing gown. Back off.
I think I'm all right, because I've found ways of dealing with it through stand-up. Is a therapy, isn't it? And I think through going to the gym and things like that, I've found ways of sort of being happy, you know, writing and all that.
I've just got an image of you jogging like that. It does. A smile on your face. Like,
oh. It does.
Jim Carrey jogging. All right, then.
I did the marathon 11 years ago, still counts. And I finished and I couldn't stop smiling. I think it does. Yeah, I couldn't physically stop myself from smiling. I reckon you probably see that at the end of the marathon.
Everyone's exercise has been proven to release endorphins, though. Yeah.
I mean, I've never had a serious chat on the WhatsApp group with my group of boys. It's never happened.
It's hard, isn't it?
But that's your audience as well, though, isn't it? It's like with comedy. I mean, if you think about it, the way you guys write stuff and practice it in front of one audience and then perfect it in front of another, and then, you know, maybe you've said it three or four times before you've got it perfectly bang on. Yeah. That's therapy. That's getting it out of your system. That's talking about it. That's perfecting it. And that's what us girls do all the time. Like, we're telling that story. We're getting it out of our system. And you're right, when we talk about... not talking causes depression, or not talking means you're going to die. Like, that's obviously not the case, but it's a major factor.
Yes, it can be a red flag.
I think it's a big, major factor.
It can be a massive red flag. So what do you think, Tom? Just before, we've got to go into a break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about arguing. Slightly more juicy, how men and women argue in relationships.
Yeah.
We're going to get into that.
No, we're fucking not.
Layla.
No, we're not. I would say, I also think it's a British thing to not talk. My wife's very English, and she comes from a very English family, and she's a bit like, you know,
she comes from a Jewish background.
Jewish, yeah.
Well, so that definitely more verbal.
Yeah.
My Jewish friends are definitely talk the shit out of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So are Jewish men more mentally healthy then, by our weird theory we've just put up? Because I know a lot of neurotic Jewish blokes.
Yeah, I think so. I think they talk.
But even socialising, right? As Brits don't socialise that much, therefore we don't talk that much either.
Cafe culture.
Like, the only ever time me and my friends get together, and I live in London, they live in Preston, is if we're going for a night out.
Any ethnic background you're cooking, Tom, at all?
Have you nothing.
Nothing?
No, right. Absolutely not.
It's just interesting to get, because when Layla comes out something like that about the Brazilian side, I find it fascinating that where you're born can make a massive difference on how much you share what's going on in your head.
Literally born and bred Preston. I don't know my mum and dad. My mum and dad are from around there as well. But, like, me and the boys will never, ever talk about a series.
Northern's worse than Southern.
100%. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. Like, I split up with my girlfriend, and I've had my mates go, you're right, cool, right, should we have this night out? And that's that's the whole chat.
The male approach to singleness is, you're right, well, just think about the Vajganistan you're about to go into. Your pelvis is going to be going like a sewing machine in a power surge. You're going to be banging like a tribal chief with a drum on Ket. Stop whinging. Get out of there. Bang, bang, bang. And that is just the male approach.
Yeah.
Positive thinking.
Yeah, that's probably what it is in a way, really. You can end up sobbing and shagging, which no woman needs to see.
The crank. Cry wank. I hate it.
Oh, the cry wank.
Don't talk about it.
Before you hit your break, though, you know what you do have, though, in Britain, is that, which we have in Brazil as well, if not more so, is that football culture. So at least with meeting up for the football, going to the game, that's an opportunity where men are talking, shouting, physically getting emotional.
But it's done by a proxy, isn't it? It's on the sport.
But I also think, like, I'm not a massive sports fan. I'm not really into football.
You have nowhere to let your emotions out.
I have nowhere to go.
What?
Yeah, so, like, that's great if you're into sport, but if you're not into sport, you kind of paint into a bit of a corner where you don't really know where to go with it.
Which is why you probably talk about sausages for breakfast for 25 exactly, minutes on the radio.
That's a radio show.
What is your favourite type of sausage? Right, we're going to take a break now. We're going to be back with more Boys Don't Cry in just a moment. But first, here's Chris Lloyd with something else from Joe.
Welcome to TKO here on Joe with me, Chris Lloyd, and Carl Frampton. We're a podcast and usual show. We're with you every Thursday. We have special guests like this man, Fist Bump, and Carl, why is the show so good? Sell it to the public.
I want to talk about your fist pump more than anything.
don't talk about that kind of thing on air. What was wrong with the fist pump?
I don't know.
Just, it was a rather feminine fist pump in my head. There you go. You could feel it.
Oh, I look forward to surgery. So just for those of you listening, that's the voice of David Hay, of course, former Unified Cruiserweight Champion of the World, former Heavyweight Champion of the World. That's the sort of quality that you can expect to make up for certainly my lack of quality. Carl's doing all right, though. I think Carl's doing a good job.
I feel like I do my job well.
Yeah.
You're solid.
Yeah? What's your fist bump like? Good fish. So that's basically what you can look forward to on Joe TK. We're into round 90. If you haven't caught up with any of them, they're all on YouTube right now. And we look forward to you joining us soon.
Thanks, Chris. Now it's time for a word from our sponsor. Only it's going to be creepily read out by me. Boys Don't Cry is proud to be sponsored by ASOS Design. It's my absolute go-to brand for the white T-shirt, black jean look, which I pull off, although not today. I'm in khaki, just in case war breaks out during the Brexit negotiation. I can disappear into a bit of topiary or like a bush peacock.
Well,
some of you will be slaughtered by angry Remainers and Brexiteers. Slated both equally. To be honest, if it wasn't for ASOS, do you know what I'd be wearing today? Nothing. My cock and bollocks would be resting on this desk because my pants, socks, trainers, jeans, I live out of ASOS long before I was sponsored on this podcast. Do you know why? Lazy, can't make decisions. Before ASOS, I just used to go into a shop, point at the mannequin and go, make me look like that one. And now it magically appears through the post. You can try it on, send it back, and they've just extended their return date policy. Bang. 45 days staring at a black T-shirt thinking, is it for me? So do try it. It gives you the confidence to push the boat out, lads, and try something new. Make you more manly, just like I've become. You don't have to look like me. If you do, we do have counselling and fact sheets you can get from the website. Please contact me. ASOS, created and styled for you, by you, ASOS Design. Check out the latest pieces on asos.com/men. Right, we're at Boys Don't Cry. We're supposed to be talking about arguing, but we've ended up doing a massive opening bit just generally about communication. Great, park that. Let's get on to the juice, Layla Anna Lee.
Yes.
I want to talk about arguing.
Right.
Single at the moment?
No, I'm married.
You're married?
Yeah, I've nailed arguing, so I get to keep it.
You're right. So, Vin, have you married a British guy or a Brazilian guy?
British guy.
British guy. So, what are we like at arguing? I think there is a difference here between men and women. Now, obviously, I'm making massive generalisation. That's all we can do on a podcast and then pick it apart. I think men combine long periods of silence with non-communication, followed by explosive door slamming, fist through the telly, walk out the house style of arguing.
Yeah.
They are very much our two modes. Don't want to talk about it. I'll fucking rip the light out of the ceiling then, down to the pub. There's not so much American back and forth talking and discussing our issues. Years, and if you do, you feel really self-conscious and silly doing it. Layla Anna Lay, happily married, what is your experience?
Well, I can break most of our problems down to two things. One, it's something we need to talk about, something we need to solve. And the second one is you need to have a coffee and go for an exercise. Like, someone needs a run. Like, you need to go for a run. You just pick, like, sometimes you can tell if someone's missing something in their life that's important to them. Like, exercise. For my husband, he needs to exercise, like, every day.
Running.
Loves
and smiling.
It.
What does your
running
fella do? Is he a sports person or something?
No, he's actually stay-at-home dad.
Wow. So it's even more important. He's
That he has his own time for him.
Get
right?
Out of the house.
Exactly. So he likes to run, he likes to work out, and if he's not at the gym or if he hasn't been at the gym or gone for a run for at least 3 days, guaranteed on the fourth day we'll argue about something.
He's a good communicating toned domestic god, is he? Anyone else hating this fucker? Anyway, enough from you.
Just move on.
He's probably used to sit ups now again. Is it time for the feed yet?
He's insane. It's,
I just need to do my UNICEF voluntary work this afternoon while practicing my Italian verbs. Fuck off! No one needs to know about this guy. Yeah. Sounds a bit too perfect.
So there's two levels of argument.
There's an issue that needs tackling, or it's time to do some guided meditation. conversation, take a breath, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, chill like out, sometimes Darren. It's just I'm stressed, I'm worked up, I haven't been able to exercise, I haven't had my coffee today, right? Sometimes it's something that's little.
And what was your last argument? What was it about?
This morning. About him not communicating.
Hang on a second. You had an argument this morning?
Yeah, 100%.
About him not communicating properly.
Yeah.
That's like a meta argument, isn't it?
It's bizarre. Yeah, exactly.
I hate meta arguments. Yeah, you know, when you're at the end of an argument and go, what we're actually arguing about? See, this is the problem with this argument. You've just remarked on how I'm arguing with you. And
that's where you give up, I think. When you're arguing about the argument, you've got into it.
We need to have a discussion about how we have discussion.
Yeah.
So,
oh my God.
Layla, if I'm allowed to push you, what was it he was being accused of not communicating about?
So, this is really embarrassing. I feel bad now. But I'm quite particular. I like things in a certain way.
Thank you. We're going to be friends.
Yeah, I'm a real minimalist. My house is slightly OCD. Everything's perfect. Okay.
Beat him to death with the bean tin that wasn't in the correct place. Thank you.
Well, the fridge... The shelves in the fridge weren't how I like them. So, like, the butter and the gels, the sauces and stuff are at the top.
The filthy pig. Have you looked up women's shelters?
We've discussed this before. And I'm like, there's two ways to go about this. Either I fight this whole OCD in the way I like it, or we just do the fridge my way. And it's so much easier to just fucking make the fridge neat, right? It's not the end of the world.
It's objectively better to have a tidy fridge.
Exactly.
Sorry, guys.
And keep in mind, I'm away a lot. I travel away loads. So he can use the fridge however the hell he likes when I'm not there. Mm. But when I'm here, just put it in this order. Now, that's not what we argued about. That was the beginning of the argument. Right. The fridge wasn't in the order. I didn't say anything. It was whatever. But it's just annoying. He sees me rearranging the fridge. He already feels like, without anyone even saying anything, he already feels like, oh, yeah, I failed because that's just
rearranging. So you come back into the domestic domain and you're doing a you've not done this correctly display.
Without even saying
it. And he's taken that personally.
Yeah.
Right.
So that, but nothing was said in that. He just saw it, felt it, I did it, done. Later on, I think I asked him to trim the dog's paws before I go out because I didn't have time and I need to do this and da da da. And we talked and we had a plan of like three or four things we need to do before I came out to this. And then he was just sat in the living room chilling. And I'm like, dude, are you not going to do any of those things? He's like, oh, you mean now? And I was like, yeah, like now, like today. Like, why aren't you communicating with me? If you don't want to do it and you've got something else you need to do. And he's like, oh, because I need to do X, Y, and Z. I was like, well, then tell me.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm saying, can you do A, B, C? Don't, like, just go, yeah, okay, if you've actually got other plans. Like, just say I can't do it, and that's cool. I'm like, just communicate with me, please.
And was it resolved before you left the house, or is this one brewing for when you return? And will there be a fridge audit as soon as you walk in?
There were WhatsApp messages when I got on the train of, like, sorry, I was a bit moody.
Heart shape.
But it's those, yeah, exactly. But it's those little things. No aubergine.
We're not at that point yet in the argument, I don't think.
When I see the aubergine, I'm like, we're cool.
Yeah, we could. Thank God away with it. Thank God.
I know I sound like a completely mental.
No,
but
not at all. Listen.
It's just about communicating.
Yeah, it's good to hear. So, Tom, with your girlfriend, what's the style of argument? Are you don't communicate properly while she's like, Tom, we need to talk about this?
No, see, I know I should talk about stuff, so I encourage the chat. So I'm like, we need to talk about this. Like, I know you're not happy. Like, let's talk about it.
Give me an example.
Last
when you argued about it. Go there.
So we argued.
Go there, fella. You're helping others.
We argued.
I told you, not in my hair, you dirty bastard.
no comment. 2 days ago, we argued about, so it's her birthday night out tonight, actually. And I've got my boys over on Saturday. So there's no crossover.
No.
Her night out is on Friday.
Exactly.
My boys are here on Saturday. But apparently, my boys coming over was overshadowing her birthday. But I'm like, I was overshadowing the birthday because I was thinking about the boys thing maybe more than...
To play devil's advocate, have you arranged everything Saturday night and have no idea what you're doing Friday, by any chance?
No.
Right. I see what's happening.
Yeah, I mean...
An elbow drop.
Bang. So I'm like... So then she's obviously annoyed but won't talk about it.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, let's talk about this. And then as soon as I feel under attack, I'm like, fuck you. Okay, see you later. And I'm like, that's not probably the best way to deal with that, is it?
Not the double fingers. Did you dunk double fingers with Moonwalk?
Yeah. Moonwalked out of the kitchen. Screw you, baby. I'm going to bed.
The double fingers with reverse walkout will enrage you.
Yeah. In my mind, it's hilarious.
Going around the corner with it like that. See you later.
And so where was that left?
Where is that
canceled?
Left? No, absolutely not. No, I'm going. Obviously, tonight's all good. I'm going along. I just felt like I should have maybe been more attentive about Friday being like, you know, it's important to her.
You're at the Friday event, right?
Yeah, of course I am.
So does she feel like you're going to be holding off on your drinking and celebrating?
That's exactly it.
And you're like, I'm not going to get too wankered, because obviously I've got a two-night party. And you should be like, no, Saturday you should be hungover to fuck, drink sparkling water with your mates, because Friday is my night.
It's the thing.
So if we're getting wankered, you're getting wankered with me. There is this thing in couples where, like, if we're both going to be drunk, we want to go to the same level of drunk, which gets ruined when you're a stand-up the whole time. Because if me and Lindsay get a date night, I'm always second thinking about the gig the next night, and I'll only have one glass of wine, where she might want me to have two. She's got dastardly plans for me. And you're always got your eye on that. But with work, it's slightly different, because it's something I can't change. You've elected to have your mates over. You've got a liver budget for the weekend.
Yeah.
Your liver budget is 10 beers, and you're now skewing your liver budget towards
the boys.
Yeah, see.
And the birthday was obviously in the diary before the boys.
Oh, no.
But they live in Preston, so they can't. I mean, I'm getting into this now. They live in Preston, so they don't come to London that much.
Have you spent most of the week talking about how excited you are about Saturday?
Potentially.
Yeah, like, I can feel her.
But
we're
going on holiday. We're going to Abu Dhabi the week after for her actual birthday.
Yeah, but she wanted the Friday, is what she wants.
I spent so much money on the present that she's not seen yet. That's surely bought me some credit.
She doesn't know that, though.
When does this go out? Could have just bought the surprise.
I mean, she knows I spent a lot of money because I told her.
So, Joe, go on then. What type of arguer are you? Are you a silent, reasonable, followed by a door slam, fist through the plaster type guy, or are you somewhere in between, or are you just not argue at all?
I like to be right, according to my wife.
is she correct on that?
No.
No. As I said, I like to sort of have it out before we go to bed, and she just wants to sort of sleep. She saves it all up for one big argument.
Right.
That's what she does.
And then I have to guess...
if she's angry a lot of the time, just from the way she looks. She's very English.
Oh, right. Is it third letter L?
Yeah. It's normally... I mean, we're in a similar situation. I've got a toddler, so it's always normally about sort of time spent with her and gigs that I'm doing, so I've got to sort of balance that. Where I've got... It's usually... I've got to come straight home after a gig. I mean, I probably don't have to. I think I do have to, and last night I didn't.
What did you do?
I just had a pint, mate. But she did
a vodka.
I think attention is something men never want to say. Like, they never want to say, "I feel like you're not giving me enough attention," and that's genuinely
I'm the neediest guy in the world.
Are you?
Oh yeah. I'm the neediest guy out there.
You're talking to two stand-ups, you get no sympathy. Yeah. I literally will take 1,000 strangers' attention every night and need it again the next night.
Yeah. So I feel like I tell her, I'm like, hey, you're not talking to me enough. But I'm like, hello, hi.
But see, that's communicating. That's good.
Yeah.
Do you do that?
Yeah. Yes. I will say you look good, and then I'll wait, and I'll be like, what about me?
I did that last night.
That's adorable. How about you?
But you don't want us to lie, Joe, do you? You've got to be honest in a relationship. Like, you're a kind person.
More of his personality sort of.
You're really kind.
Good at drawing. And so let's talk about shouting, raised voices. Let's not dress it up. Aggression. We're not talking about physical aggression. Obviously, no one around this table hits each other, I hope. But it is still within the paradigm of aggression to point and shout, spittle, flying swear words. How far do you go from naught up to 10? What's the furthest you would go or have been?
I'm sure I've shouted a bit. Oh God!
I've definitely got better in this relationship before.
Were you a shouter?
I wasn't so much as a shouter as a destroyer. I've never, touch wood, hit another human being, even a man, in my entire life. Even though at my corporate last week, someone tried to punch me in the face and hit my ear. I'll tell you about it after. But I have been known to just lose it in an argument. Oh, yeah? Well, let's see what we think about this. And then fist through the fucking plaster, through the wall.
Wow.
Thing. I've ripped a gear stick out of a car. I've got out of a car, ripped a wing mirror off. Yeah. This is before
but
this relationship.
But that's channeling anger, isn't
it? It is. With the muscle fit top, you can tell you've got that in you.
But it's uncontrollable.
Yeah.
Ray, I put a laptop, I've done a TV.
Wow. See, would you say that had you communicated your problems earlier, it wouldn't have gotten that bad?
It's what it is. It's the argument starts, blah, blah, blah. Who knows what they're about? These are previous relationships.
Yeah.
This is a problem I got under control before, Lindsay, but I know... My theory is at least 70% of men and a good proportion of women react like this in an argument. It just gets to a point where it's so heated. And if you're not someone that could hurt another person, which thank God I'm not, something is going to get hit. You've just, the trip switch in from the There's a brilliant book called The Chimp Paradox, which I recommend, which you've got your monkey part, your brain, and the human part. The monkey part is that just reacts on instinct. Yeah. If it goes, it goes. And for me, it could be a door slam. It could be just a smash of glass. No one was ever hurt. Nothing. It's never cost me thousands of pounds apart from the laptop screen, I suppose.
Wow.
But
at least you're expressing it, right? That you're getting something.
It was disturbing. It's disturbing for a woman to witness.
Of course, yeah.
It's something you need to get licked before kids come along.
Yeah.
Because a baby's not going to understand that behaviour. So I was determined to get it fixed before then. And
well done on that, because that's not easy. Are you going 0 to 100 quickly, or is it building up?
It would be more of an argument. I've never had an argument about coming home late. So, but, you know, I'm late. Well, I was doing this, but I'm working hard. And it would get to there. And if someone comes in my face aggressive, fuck you. Oh, I can't handle it.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck this. And that's when I would smash something. I wouldn't go, you're shouting in my face. I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm going to leave the house quietly. I would now.
Yeah.
I would now.
See, I'm much more like that. I'm not a shouty, aggressive person at all. But I think that's me. But then I don't express anything. Do you know what I mean? As soon as we get into
the
chat.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I've never shouted. Ever.
Wow.
Yeah,
shouted.
No, ever.
I'm not a shout. I tend to miss out
Is
shouting.
Shout?
I tend to go from slightly raised voice to, oh, shit. Can I get a plasterer, please? The wall, the hole through the wall would be my favourite move.
So it's
light switch. Fist on a light switch, cracks, electrical circuit exposed. It's a classic. Turning the light off like that as you leave the room.
So we can all agree that's gone too far on account that you've lost control. Like
indeed.
You weren't able to think,
shouting
choose,
probably would have been better.
A
slightly raised voice, which I can now do. Yeah. I can now do, excuse me, I think you're in the wrong. No, but I can have a discussion like that. Is it age? Is it the fact that I took active... I actively intervened. I went on this thing called the Hoffman process, changed my life, sorted me out. Google it, look it up. So maybe it was that. I don't know. You must have been. Come on, you've got Brazilian.
I know.
My friend, I was doing a gig with, had a Brazilian wife.
Fiery.
And we were queuing to get onto a flight, and we were connecting between two locations in a country to do these gigs. I won't say where in case it gives away the person. Let's just say France wasn't. And we missed the flight to Paris, let's say. And she went up to the counter. Can I do this? We have to go to a show. And the guy said no. And she got all of the leaflets and bits of paper on the desk and was like, do you like this, sir? Or do you like that?
Oh, wow.
And started distributing paperwork over the airport and going, fuck you, we missed that flight. Just gone like a firework.
It's been great to watch.
It was fantastic. Now, is she in the wrong?
So cinematic.
Are we in the wrong for our suppressed...
As soon as we lose control, we're in the wrong, right? And I think you kind of, if you were to... I have quite a calculated way about my anger. So if you're like a 0 to 10, I'm quite...
That's like an archer.
Terrifying. I know, isn't it bad?
Pull the arrow back and...
Sometimes I want people to think I'm more angry than I actually am.
Right, gotcha.
Do you know what I mean?
So it's
I
a
might,
theatrical display of
Yeah,
anger.
I might show them an 8, but I'm at 5, gets what I want, where I need it, and that. So that's kind of... That's really bad, isn't it?
That's so well thought of.
I know.
It's a bit serial killer. Let's just reflect back on how neat you like your fridge as well. It's not looking good, really, is it?
I very, very rarely get angry.
Safely at home. Under the patio and you're talking to him. I told you to put the butter back, dear.
In the right way.
Of course.
Yeah, not just back in the kitchen.
obviously. It's going on the correct shelf in that example.
But I'm incredibly patient, I think, because of all the communication in advance of that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't... I very rarely get angry. If I get angry, I'll be honest, I don't think there's anything wrong with shouting. As long as you're not shouting in someone's face. It's not like, you, da-da-da.
Yeah.
That's not on.
No.
But to raise your voice to express that you are really pissed off right now, that's okay.
Yes.
But I don't lose control.
So we've got no other door slammers.
I used to be... When I was a teenager... Most of the doors in our house were off the hinges.
There you go. Mm.
I
grew up constantly.
I'd just constantly slam doors. It's just a really
nice
way of ending an argument with your mum. Just like, fuck you, and just slam a door. But yeah, just the house was ruined. I've already burned.
Ironically, at home, I couldn't have done that due to the fact my dad is a silverback ape, or was. And if I so much as slammed the door, that would have been the end of me.
So were you having arguments in your house when you were growing up?
I wouldn't have destroyed any of my old man's property just for fear of... But I always had, up until about 10 years ago, that version of my temper. Never against people, thank God, never even against other boys at school, but always had a fist through the wall type mental temper, loss of control, let's call it.
We could argue that the kid who's slamming the door and storming off and punching through walls is at least communicating their anger. and possibly less dangerous than the one who's saying nothing.
I mean, let's be real here.
Yeah, we're human.
When I looked at the television screen crack, I didn't get any good what I've done. I was like, that's felt fucking great. Let's get on with the day. Then later on, I'm like, oh, I'm going to need a new telly.
You do need to get rid of it somehow. This is really middle class and Jewish, but I went to therapy when I was 6, 7 years old.
Are you worried about being 8? Yeah. I mean, even 8 is a symbol of infinity, but it's not.
More and more kids on it now, guys.
Yeah, go on.
Just do drawing, just used to do kids' drawing. But I found that actually doing drawing for me really helped. I really got into drawing then.
And you've gone on to do something with that, famously. But a book of portraits.
Yeah, yeah, and you're in it, mate.
Indeed I am.
So, yeah, I do...
Looking like David Schwimmer. Anyway.
Sorry, mate. Yeah, but it's... and now with Instagram, I kind of use it. It's good for that. And whenever I'm feeling low, I do a bit of painting and do a bit of drawing. It makes me feel better.
That seems so healthy.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't be further from any of that. Like,
so you're completely not even a voice raiser?
No, it's
so
weird.
Where does it go, Tom? Where is it going?
I have no idea.
It's going somewhere.
Yeah, I have no idea.
It's gonna come out.
Yeah, maybe one day.
Does it just... Well, actually, let's not constantly therapize, but maybe you just healthily disperse your anger without a need to show. There's not a correct way.
Yeah, it's weird. Like the idea of...
What about your girlfriend? Is she a shouter?
No, not really, no. We're both kind of... We've only been together, 3-4 months.
Well,
so we're still in that honeymoon stage.
Yeah, it's not going to argue.
Yeah, maybe I'm quite passive. I don't know, I feel quite chill. Like, I don't really get that pissed off about stuff. I get quite stressed about things.
Mm.
That gets to me. But, the idea of me in Preston having going to therapy at 8 or, have even talking about these things is insane. So I don't know whether I've got something, I'm bottling things up, and one day I'm going to go crazy. Or maybe I am just...
That could be your biography, Green Bottles.
Yeah.
I tell you what sounds worrying is that you don't even know.
I don't know.
But you might be, by nature, just less chilled, more chilled.
Yeah.
Some people get to, this level, some people don't. We are all different.
Yeah.
Or you might be bottling it up.
Or I'm a serial killer. It's one of the two.
Yeah, exactly.
okay, let's go. I feel really safe right now.
I know what everyone wants to hear from this panel. They want to hear about the worst arguments we've had. If you're not comfortable doing it in your current relationship, feel free to use a previous, but really we'd like it if it was your current one. This is much more juicy.
I mean, ever since my kid arrived, that just adds so much tension.
What's the worst?
When you're tired.
Operatic.
I think when you start being tired, and it's the getting up. I remember early on when I've come back from a gig, and that argument, we didn't quite work out who should do the getting up. And I was the one getting in late from a gig and a bit more reluctant to get up. And she was doing a lot of the getting up. And when you're tired, you just sort of shout in. One of us ended up sleeping downstairs. I think when one of us sleeps downstairs, that's not a good sign.
For me, if I've got a gig tonight and a gig tomorrow, I've got to get my sleep.
Yeah.
I'm not shirking my night feed duties. I cannot do 2 hours of stand-up. If I fed the baby 3 times during the night, I just can't.
Yeah.
So I know, it sucks that Lindsay's the one trapped at home with the baby, but we came to the conclusion it felt so sexist and old-fashioned and wrong. But it didn't need to be Lindsay, but whoever is doing that stay-at-home role, if the person needs a fresh brain for what they're doing to pay the bills, then to me that is not an argument.
Yeah.
You've got to get 7 hours unbroken. It's not. I'm not, shirking. I don't want to be involved with my daughter. I've got to get 7 hours. So I don't do the gig. Pick one.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's healthy debate. No, it's not out of order. Actually, I do exactly the same the other way around at home.
Right.
If I've got work to do and, also, keep in mind, we kind of have to look good for our job. You can't show up looking shattered, tired, and there's certain expectations they have of you, and your brain's got to be, you've got to be thinking. You've got to be ready to talk and ready to do everything you need to do. You could argue that Lindsay has to do a whole day with a baby the next day on 2 hours sleep. Indeed. Which one's harder?
True.
Being with the child's a heck of a lot harder. Yeah. We could argue that way.
True.
But we're doing what we're doing for them anyway. So, Indeed. Yeah, I have exactly the same situation at home. My
biggest
husband
row you've ever had with your fellow then? Mr. Perfect there.
Mr. Perfect.
Did you do too many leg days or something? Spending too much time volunteering.
Do you know... The biggest row is probably my fault. Do you know what I mean? The biggest row is probably my fault. Oh, we're good at communicating. We're good at communicating. You know why? Because he gets angry.
Did you host a boat party with David Gandy?
No, oh, he's so sexy, David.
It's annoying, isn't it?
Do you know what, though? It is... Oh, God, I've got to be careful telling this story.
No, he's the pants model. Yeah. Thankfully, he's a carpenter and a commoner, so it's fine. Yeah, carry on.
Similar to your situation, I didn't do something particularly wrong, but I was in Brazil for the World Cup. My husband was at home. We just got engaged. No baby. So
shared the after game hot tub with Ronaldo.
My husband.
That's the worst.
That would.
No.
Ronaldo asked Lindsay out.
No way.
Fuck it. Yeah. Sorry. Go on.
Good for him. My husband. I logged him into my Instagram so that he could post whilst I was in some stadiums, because when you're at the football matches, the signal's low, and it was so important for me that I was tweeting about or Instagramming about and posting about the game at the time.
Yep.
Not too much, because you don't want people to think you're not watching the game, but I'm watching the game, he's posting for me, right? That was the situation that we were having during the 2014 World Cup. He wasn't there, he was in England, right? Yeah. Missing out on an amazing World Cup. He's a football fan too, so he's gutted he's not there. And I interviewed a Barcelona player, we won't mention who, whilst in Brazil. And he was young at the time. He wasn't playing in the World Cup. He was just young there. And he said this, by the way, this is in a studio of like 21 people that I interviewed him. And he said to everyone afterwards, oh, you know, I'm here with my dad. I don't even know Rio that well. He's from a different part of Brazil. And he was saying, like, I want to hang out. Like, where are you guys going? Where are you guys partying? And we all had a chat. For me, it's super unprofessional, even though I wanted to as a friend sort of be like, oh, take my number. I'll tell you where we're going. I didn't, because it's not professional when you're like interviewing a star footballer. So I didn't. But everyone else in the room was like, oh, yeah, we're going to this restaurant. Probably around this time, not sure. It wasn't nailed down. Then we left. He's not going to find the runner on Instagram, is he? He's not going to find the cameraman who he spoke to. All these people you made friends with.
I'm feeling the husband's insecurities.
Oh, my God. Right?
The fiancé's insecurities.
Who does he find on Instagram? Me. And the message that he wrote in Portuguese, which my husband had to Google Translate, was...
No, it's a sexy language already. Aubergine.
So the message that he wrote was, the tail end of a conversation that had already happened. It was just
You've done this
really well.
So
it was the tail end. There was loads of people in the room.
Everyone was laughing.
It's a joke story. So the message that was sent was, so what time am I meeting you then?
Wow. Oh.
It wasn't, are we gonna, could you want to go to dinner? It was what
time? God, I feel sick. I feel physically sick, yeah. Jesus Christ.
So right now, he's just got engaged to a girl who works in football, is in Brazil with this gorgeous footballers, and he's just written, what time are we meeting then? As in, like, you've agreed. I can tell from the way he's written it that you've agreed to meet him somewhere, and what are you doing? And we had to have this really FaceTime on random hours, because with 8-hour difference, really difficult conversation and argument about how I ended up just saying, look, I work in football. You scroll down those DMs, it's bad. Like, there's a lot of shit. You're going to have to just get over it, because you're either going to have live a really jealous life. I'm away with footballers on a male-orientated site. Like, everyone's male all the time. So you're either going to always be jealous, or you're going to have to trust me. And I'm telling you the story of what happened. We're going to go to a restaurant with him. Our crew's going to... I'm not going to tell the whole crew, you can't take him out because my husband's jealous. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're all going to this restaurant at this time. And then, I don't know, if we go to a bar or whatever, I'll leave if it makes you feel that uncomfortable. But should you really be interfering in that? Like, when it's innocent? No. It wasn't easy.
He resolved it. That's a good argument.
He gets better and better.
It was tough. It was tough.
What's the worst one you've had, Joe?
Oh, worst argument.
You don't really do explosive then.
We probably do. It's normally around the kid. It's normally some sort of argument around feeding him. One of us is good cop, one of us is bad cop. I mean, I like to be liked, you know, the stand-up thing. So I will do kind of whatever my kid wants. I mean, I sort of try and be, you know, the bad cop. But, I just want to be liked. I just want him to be happy. And I will give him a chocolate or something like that. So there's probably been one of those.
The other cop.
It's a little bit. And, she's the strict one. And as a result, he is a bit more like, oh, daddy, can I have a chocolate?
My diabetes is hurting.
a little bit. So it's probably one of those.
So it's a stand-up thing, but maybe it's just a work away from home thing. So I have to be extra careful. Some of the biggest rows are if I forget little tokens or symbols.
Oh my God.
I notice you. And the thing that kicks it off, this is the finishing topic here, to do with arguments and we're done. Cards. There is a gender difference in greeting cards. I'm currently doing stand-up about it. Women seem to profoundly care about if you remember to get them a card, a happy birthday card. I couldn't give a fuck. I hate all cards. I hate all forms of them.
Massively overpriced.
They annoy me. So I think one year, like I did flowers, surprise weekend away to the hotel, flower. Yeah, where's my fucking car? There is no 99p bit of fucking paper. It's because it's the thing that conveys the genuine sentiment and emotion. Yeah. Yeah. If I forget a token or something like that, that's when we default into, how dare you? All the hours I'm working. And I sound like my dad or something. I've forgotten a stupid fucking card. It's what it means, Russell. You got to understand it's important to me. And then we're fucking off each other's
throats. Is it the piece of paper or is it what you write in it?
It's
is it
both. The writing? Well, there is no writing. You can't air write, can you? So there's no
writing. Do you write a lot or do you just try happy birthday?
No, I'm a verbal person, so you get a sonnet, so that's sonnet what's minimum. Important. Like, if I ever have a single ever again, it's 12 line sonnet minimum. Rhyming couplet at the end, naturally. But you know, that's funny enough, it's some of the biggest rounds. Like Mother's Day, for example, just gone. I cannot get my fucking head around. Lindsay's like, don't forget to get me a card. You didn't give birth to me, right? If the child is not old enough to give a card yet, you ain't getting a fucking card.
But she's sorry. A mama. She wants to be...
No, I've said
what?
It. You've done that.
Sorry, every man watching this... I know, but I need to speak for all the men that are too scared to admit they feel the same as me.
Oh, God.
If I don't expect a Father's Day card from a milk slug fetus that can't, like... Right, yeah. When Minna is ready, she can be taken to the shops, pick a card herself and write it great. If she asks to do it, great. I don't want some fake-ass pretend gifting shit.
So like, though you are a father...
Of course I did it like a eunuch broken bitch. Of course I did. But it doesn't take away my anger.
You're happy to miss out on Father's Day?
No, I want Minna to say happy Father's Day and when she's... I don't need
but
a
so
card.
Look, you
don't
think it's
a
big deal, do
you? I don't think you think it's a big deal. The fact that you didn't get a Father's Day card is not a big deal for you.
I don't want Lindsay to pretend like I'm her daddy. Shit like that makes me feel sick. If I see she's like, I've got the Daddy's Day card for you, don't touch me, don't come near me for a week.
Yeah.
When my daughter is ready, she will do it. Now she can do just a little painting at nursery with her hands. Here, I love you, Daddy. Great, I love it. Cry like a bitch. But it's the... Come on, Joe, don't leave me hanging here.
I'm a bit torn. I'm a bit torn because I make greetings cards. So, you know, I'm all for buying greetings cards.
Oh,
Joe,
you are so...
He's marketing. That's a plug.
Absolutely scared of
broadcast. Just marketing right now.
Broken prisoner.
Yeah, sold out.
Tom, you're going to leave me hanging.
I don't know what you've done. I mean, you are so incredibly well-rounded. It's unreal.
Thanks.
Tom, do you find cards annoying?
Yeah, I do. I got shouted out by my girlfriend last
week.
There
we are. They're an argument flashpoint.
Because I didn't buy my mum and mother's day. Well, she forced me to get my mum and mother's day card.
So
and then
your,
she was like,
your girlfriend's forcing you to get your mum and mother's day card?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just fucked up.
My mum doesn't need it. My mum knows that I love her. Sarah Green, you know I love you. You know, I don't need to get her a candle and send a candle. It's a waste of money.
A waste of your money?
Yeah, a waste of my money.
But she likes it.
My mum?
Yeah.
I don't know. Does she?
So chances are I'll get her a fucking card. Right?
I did. I wrote it in Sainsbury's.
I feel like an argument is about to break out. Sorry. That is the end of the show. That's all for Boys Don't Cry this week. Thank you, our friends at ASOS, for making it look like I've got pecs. And thanks to my guests, Tom Green, Joe Bort, and of course, Layla Anna Lee. Please get her a card if you bump into her. Don't forget, we're a podcast and a YouTube show. Leave us a review or a comment if you like. If you don't, why not send us some sort of commemorative greeting card to see what you share? Really enjoyed it. No, don't bother. Because cards are shit.
Thank you for listening to Boys Don't Cry with Russell Kane, brought to you by Joe, together with ASOS.